Welcome to Heart of the Psalmist, cultivating the heart of creatives. Now, your host, Sharvis Whitted.
Well, hello, listeners. Welcome to another episode of Heart of the Psalmist. This is your host, Sharvis Whitted, and this is the show where we're asking God to create in us clean hearts so that we can create for Him. Thanks again for joining today's conversation. And today I have a very, to the third power, infinity special guest today, a person that's been very instrumental in me getting to where I am in my creative journey and also my ministry journey and my journey as a man. That is none other than my very dear top five friend, Dr. Michael Figgers. How are you today, sir?
What's going on, Sharvis? Good to be here, man. I'm excited about being a part of this show. And this is a wonderful thing you're doing.
I appreciate it. That means a lot coming from you. And again, we want to welcome you to Heart of the Psalmist. I've been meaning to get you on here sooner, but we're here now, so we're going to make the most of it. Pick your brain. You got a lot of time on the rolls with Creative Arts Ministry. But before we jump into the meat of our conversation, could you just tell my listeners a little bit about you and in particular your creative journey, some of the things that you've done? I know you have a lot of experience, not only in the sacred arena when it comes to creative arts, but also in the secular arena. So can you just tell my audience a little bit about yourself and your journey?
Sure, I'd love to, Sharvis. Sure, certainly will. Well, I started when I was actually 8 years old, started playing piano. My aunt was this pianist for the church that I belonged to when I was growing up. And I just loved the way she looked when she was sitting at the piano. It seemed like she just enjoyed herself. And it just kind of caught my interest. And I actually asked her if she would teach me how to play, and she did. So I started playing and singing when I was around 8 years old. Grew up in the church. By the time I was 16, I was actually the church pianist. And at one time, I was actually playing for like four different churches at one time, and it was just something I knew I loved. I also, in conjunction with church, I loved band as well. Joined the band when I was in seventh grade, and just enjoyed it all the way to my graduation year. And I knew in seventh grade that I would be studying band in college, and I knew also that I would also follow my love and my passion for gospel and sacred music. And so I started teaching band. I taught band for about 10 years, taught chorus for like 7 years. I always had some kind of choir, always had some kind of ensemble throughout college as well as my adulthood. I've been minister of music for a while, over 30 years, probably more than that. I stopped counting. I love writing. I thank God for being a songwriter, and that's part of the anointing that He's put on my life. And then meeting people, of course, in my arena like you, Brother Sharvis, and so many others who write, who love this whole industry of music and gospel music and worship. It's just my passion, man. And right now, I still do the same thing. I spent 17 years as a director of worship and arts at a local church here in Charlotte, North Carolina, where I was the oversight to five choirs, two dance teams, the drama team, the band, of course, and the entire music and arts ministry. And I just loved it. And I still love it. Nothing like putting together a big pageant or a recording or a Christmas production or a resurrection production. That's what I love so much. In addition to that, I just love teaching college as well. I'm a music professor at UNCC, which is University of North Carolina here in Charlotte. So that's a little bit about me. I'm married to Dr. Vanessa Figgers, who's a math professor, and I have four grown adult boys, and I was glad to kick all of them out of my house so we can have a little freedom.
I'm not there yet. Mine is not even 10 years old. I know you remember when he was born and my journey, but that is a very impressive resume, and I know those kind of things don't go to your head, but we still honor that. And that's especially important for this show because what we like to do on Heart of the Psalmist is, you know, you have a lot of shows, and this is fine. I'm not downing this at all, but a lot of shows focus on the tech. You know, how do you plug in this gear? How do you make this technology work? How do you play the instrument better? And those things are great. But what God has led us to do here on this show is to focus on a part of the creative, a part of the musician and singer that I believe is often missed, and that is the heart of the person. Mm-hmm. It is their life. It is their walk with God. And I'm quite certain that all the years that you've been doing this, that you've seen that sometimes maybe can be a part that is missed. Could you speak to that for a second?
I certainly can, man. And actually, the title of your show really says it all. What God is all about is the heart, and not only just his heart, but your heart. And when we start talking about this whole thing of worship and being a psalmist, being a worship leader, gospel music, worship and sacred music, all of that really, really has to do with the heart. And that's why I'm really, really excited about your show, because what you're doing is you're taking people back to the very basics and foundation of what this is all about and what God really values. And the thing is that there's a part of it that is based on creativity, but then there's also a part which is just as important, if not more, that is the heart of God and the heart of a person. What God really, really, really desires from all of us is worship. And that is not only in what we do, that is our creativity and our playing and our singing, but how we live and who we are. And when you mesh those two components together, you walk exactly in the realm that God wants you to, which means that I can be walking down the street and start praising God in a brand new song because it's a part of me and it's in my heart. This is definitely something that's needed in the body of Christ these days for a whole lot of reasons.
Wow. Thank you. I appreciate that. And you hit it on the head. I think you really touched the pulse and the heartbeat of this show. And, you know, I think one of the reasons sometimes why this can be missed is because it's not taught. Sometimes we can get lost, understandably, in the talent of a person, the gift of a person. I mean, nothing can draw us in, or few things I would say, as creative arts. Mm-hmm. And so what I want to ask you, Dr. Figures, is, and you know, we've had this dynamic in our life and we still have it with one another, because just like a relay race, people are running, but at some point the next generation comes, right?
Exactly.
And you know, and I have to pass that baton on. And what can we do, and how do we make sure that what we're passing on, you know, to the next generation of creatives, singers, musicians, that it's not just technical prowess, it's not just music, but we're also passing on to them that very first thing that God said about David? You know, David was a very amazing musician. He had to be, because, you know, when Saul had that spirit trouble him, his guy said, hey, you need to get a musician that was skilled, and David was chosen. So that lets us know right there, David was very skilled. But the first thing that God said about him is, I found a man that has a heart after my own heart.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, go ahead.
That's exactly it, Brother Jarvis. When God chose David, he chose David and he gifted him, but it wasn't just his skill. It was the purpose for which he gave him the gifts and the creativity. But backing up a little bit to your the initial part of your question, and I love it so much, because the Bible says, and your children should be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. And there's another verse in Psalms, I can't remember exactly where it is, that says, one generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. And I can't neglect the one in Genesis that says, and your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed by your offspring, because you have obeyed my voice. It starts from the time they are in the cradle. And what God requires is us to teach them what it means to have and follow the heart of God. And then as they grow and as times change, and we'll talk a little bit about the creativity part, but as times change, then it's easier to pass on to them that baton that you speak of. Because the teaching of the heart part, the grooming them to seek after God like David did, starts from the cradle. It starts from when they are first born. It starts from while we're raising them. And I think a lot of times we get away from that, or we've gotten away from that. And, you know, when we get a kid that we discover when he's 16 and, you know, he wants to play all kind of chords in Holy, 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 you know, in all kind of progressions, you know, sometimes we get upset with him because of his thirst for creativity. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with this thirst. But what we have to do is teach them purpose and placement so that they don't abuse that which God has already set in place. One of the things that you and I have talked about is that you know, a lot of times you'll find certain pastors or you'll find certain leaders who want to stifle the creativity of a young man, but more so than sit him down or tell him what he's doing is bad, what we have to do is channel that creativity where it is acceptable, and then teach them that, make sure in whatever you do, that praise and worship comes through it, that you bring it from your heart. You know, I see a lot of musicians, sometimes they'll get their phones and they'll put it right in front of them while they're playing. And more so than their hearts being lifted up to the Lord, it's more watching themselves be recorded. And, you know, and I understand sometimes they're young, but it goes back to teaching. It goes back to showing them, what is my purpose? Is it just to record myself so I can put it out on Facebook? Or is it that I'm supposed to make sure that what I'm doing is the same thing that the preacher is doing in the pulpit? And that is sharing the word of God and letting my gift be worship unto him.
Yes, sir.
Makes sense.
That's it. Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And something I like that I want to kind of jump on that you said is the way that you're suggesting that the more experienced musician or the pastor deal with that young creative in a way that does not tell them that being creative is bad, exactly. But you teach them how to balance that with the ministry and in Christ's perspective. And I think sometimes that there's a tension that can go there with us passing the baton on, because sometimes there's just a friction. I mean, I know I have the church that we served in together where we connected, mm-hmm. much younger church.
Yes.
You know, the church that I'm in now, as you know, it's a much older congregation. And of course, in terms of genre, music, and just preferences, some of those things can be different. What are some things that both the older and younger generation can do to help make sure that these little foxes don't prevent us from making a successful transfer of that baton?
Exactly. And I love the way you phrase passing the baton or transferring the baton. I'll say first that one thing that leaders and those of us who are more mature and have done it for a while, you've got to realize that number one, you can't stop creativity. You can sit a musician down, you can sit a psalmist down, and you can insist that they do it the way you did it. But what's going to happen is that you're either going to discourage them, deflate them, or they're going to rebel against you. And as you said just now, you got to know how to gracefully pass that baton, because eventually your method or your way of doing it may not be as effective in reaching the next generation when that upcoming kid or when that new psalmist or new musician who is also anointed by God just may have a different way of doing it. So it reaches another generation or a new generation. And this is not new, Brother Chavez, and you know it, because if you go all the way back, let's go back to the late 60s when Edwin Hawkins took an old Baptist hymn, Old Happy Day. And when he took that hymn and he rearranged it and taught it to a state convention choir, oh my God, the flack that he got, oh, the bashing that he got and the cancellations of concerts that he got because he didn't do it the old way that it was done. Now, I'm sure you feel the same way. There are some things that are sacred and some things that if you're going to do this particular song, particular hymn, then you want to make sure that you reserve as much originality as possible because of the nature of it and what it stands for. But then there are also other songs and other tunes and other hymns or anthems that people change all the time. After Edwin decided to record that with one of his friends, 2-track recorder in his basement, and he put it out. Well, the rest is history, man. Today, Oh Happy Day has been recorded by orchestras, used in movies. You can go on the elevator in the mall and you hear Oh Happy Day. So you really can't stop creativity. But what I think Edwin had that kept him on track is that he had a heart of God, that he wanted to use it to reach a generation for Christ. And that's part of passing the baton, that we channel that creativity so that it is used to reach an upcoming generation. We're all going to get older. We're going to get older. And so I think as older, seasoned musicians and psalmists and leaders and preachers, we got to realize that at some point we got to let it go. Make sure we've taught them the heart of God so that they apply their creativity in the way that God gave it to them, but still with the purpose of reaching the heart. And we shouldn't be so staunch that we can't accept the way that God gave the same anointing to somebody else.
Correct. Wow. That's good. So, that's good. So let's look at that from another perspective. So that seems to speak loudly to the generation that's passing that baton. Now let's flip that on the other side of the coin.
Gotcha.
Because sometimes there are difficulties with that younger generation receiving anything from the older generation because they're fixated on their new.
Exactly.
So what are some wisdom that you could give the newer generation that needs to receive from the older generation? What are some things they need to be mindful of?
You know, this may sound cliche-ish for those of us who know the Lord, but seeking the heart of God first. Having hired and trained and worked with younger musicians for years, it doesn't take me long to spot that musician that comes in or that psalmist that comes in, that this is a show for them. This is a time to show off my gift. This is a time to show my runs. This is a time to actually be out front. A part of my passing the baton requires that I teach that young person, and I'm going to say it this way, insist that they put the purpose of God first, because if all you want to do is I've seen musicians, they play during the service, and then when time for the word, they get up and they leave, and they are out until time for the altar call. Okay, you've missed the most important part because the word has come forth, and that same word that everybody else is receiving is the same word that you need in order for you to function as a born-again believer. Now, I know how it is for some musicians and for some psalmists. It's just a job. But we have to be careful, because if it's just a job and that's how it comes across and that's the way that they display it, what's going to happen? That's going to come across in their worship. It's going to come across when they're serving. So as a leader, I must also teach them, listen, even if you're not on this Sunday, I still expect you to be in worship. I still expect you to attend the training meetings. I still expect you to study your Bible. I still expect you to honor God, you know. And if we don't go back to the basics and not just allow musicians and psalmists and choir members and ushers and all the way through just to do whatever they want to do without really, really regarding what God requires, and that is sincere worship, then what we got really, we're just running a business, because that person's going to come in and they're going to render you a service. And at any point, if you upset them or somebody offers them $5 more than you're offering, then they're going to run away. That's why I've always asked the questions, why do you want to be here? What is it that you really want to do? What is it that this gift means to you? Why do you think God gave it to you? I ask those questions because just like I have to require that of myself to actually dig deep and pull from the depths of my heart why I'm doing what I'm doing, that person that God put under my care and to give them a platform and an opportunity, I got to make sure at least I tried. Now, you won't win everybody. There's going to be that kid that's going to come. He knows he can play. He knows he's good. And he's just going to do his thing. And you sometimes will eventually have to release him. And it's just only because he's going to be more of a person you'll have to cater to than one you can help and you can train. But there is always that one, because Charis, you were one, that there was something I remember when we were first getting to know each other, and I was a minister of music at the church where we attended. And, you sat in the audience, although, you know, you probably then could play better than I could, but you sat in the audience and you just worshiped and you just gave God your heart. And so when it was time for that transfer and you take that place, it was an easy transition because, number one, your heart was already in the right place. You had already learned how to be teachable. You had already submitted yourself to the Holy Spirit first. And then the talent part of it that you did, the writing songs and playing, you know, keyboard and playing organ and teaching choirs and stuff, that stuff came easy to you. Even when you played with other musicians, you were an easy fit because your heart was after the worship.
Amen. Amen. Wow. I can't take credit for that, because I got to that place because something upstream happened before that. You know, it was Stan and Cheryl with it, my parents, you know,
I hear you.
It was the environment they put me in, you know, and so I was put in a place where while I was learning how to play also there was a challenge laid before me that my heart and perspective had to be right. Mm-hmm. And even if it wasn't them telling me, it was the kind of situations they put me in. Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that has to happen as we get ready to bring this episode to a close, is that we're going to have to end up going upstream more. And a lot of times we will have some houses that we need to renovate. You know what I mean? But, right. but one of my heart's doctor figures is to start upstream a little bit more, to try to grab these creatives younger.
Yes. Yes.
While that mindset and that heart is still being formed, yes. You know, and it's still fresh and it's new. Because one thing that, Pastor Flanagan would always say to us, I don't know if you heard him say it, it's easier to build a house from the ground up than it is to renovate one.
Exactly. Exactly. And I totally agree. I totally agree. And that's why when you titled your show, you know, the Heart of the Worshipper, and this, it just speaks so much to the purpose of worship and what we really are all about in the church. Of course, creativity you're going to find in the world. Creativity you're going to find in the church, you'll find it everywhere. Well, what makes the difference is the heart of the one through which that creativity is coming through. That makes all the difference in the world and affecting those who listen.
That's it. That's it. Well, wow. Well, yeah. We have amazingly been talking for over 20 minutes. Wow. Can you believe that, Dr. Figure?
20 minutes already.
That's it. That's what happens when good friends get to talking.
You're right about that, man.
Well, hey, do you have any final nuggets of wisdom that you would like to leave to this audience related to this subject? I want to give you the floor for that.
I just like to say two things, and that is for those of you who are up and coming psalmists and up and coming musicians, and those of you who are honing your craft, and some of you who are actually excellent at your craft already. You were able to play in every key up and down, all kind of chromatic runs and everything when you was three. I applaud you, and I definitely encourage you to make sure that you turn that gift over to the Lord, that you use it to please him, and that with that, you let it sit on a throne of worship and gratitude. That way, that attitude of gratitude and thankfulness will get you in places and take you to places that you never could open by yourself. The second thing is those of you who are seasoned musicians and seasoned leaders, and those who walk the way and either preparing to pass the baton or will be soon, I'd like to encourage you, as Brother Chavez has said, to start early investing in these young, anointed musicians so that when they get to the point where they do need to take the baton from you, that they know the purpose, they know the heart, and worship is at the center.
Well said. I couldn't have said that better. Well, Dr. Figures, you have fed our hearts, you fed our souls, and you really challenged my audience. I want to thank you on behalf of Heart of the Psalmist for joining us today.
Thank you.
We are the better for it.
It's my pleasure, and I'd be more than happy and honored to be a part of the show. And anytime you need me, I'm right here for you, Brother Chavez.
I believe that. Hey, I was going to tell you, don't think this is the last time. You're going to get a phone call soon to do another one.
All right, I'll be looking for that.
Well, thanks again, Dr. Figures.
Take care. God bless.